Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Now, later on in the show, I want to give you an update on a growing national grassroots movement that, well, to a certain extent, was first given some major exposure right here on the Sports Edge just a few months ago. And I'm eager to give you the latest news regarding something called Save the Game. Now, this is quite a phenomenon regarding a huge national push to once again make baseball a much more enjoyable, much more fun game to play and to watch. And as we all know, that's something that, unfortunately, sadly, Major League Baseball has somehow forgotten how to do. Anyhow, I'll tell you more about Save the Game later on in the hour. Plus, I'll give you a website where you can find out more information if you want to join this growing movement. But first up, I want to come back to the growing issue of name, likeness, and image, and how it relates to athletes. Not just athletes in college, but even at the high school and filtering down to travel and club teams, middle school. This is really quite something. And it's just truly, at least to me, a truly bold new frontier for amateur athletes at all levels. And I want to share with you some of the more interesting developments that have occurred in just since this was basically allowed. Again, as you know, name, likeness, and image basically allows athletes, not only at the college level, but at many high school levels as well, where they can pretty much cash in on the use of their name, the use of their photographic likeness, their image, whatever it might be. They're allowed to go out and get paid for making appearances, doing autograph sessions, using social media on their own accounts to generate followers and get advertisers. It's really sort of unprecedented, and I'm telling you, there are things going on that you may be aware of, maybe not, but you ought to be aware of, particularly if you're a coach, if you're a sports parent, because, you know, it's just totally unprecedented. I mean, again, the concept is very simple. I mean, for years and years, if you played sports at the collegiate level, you were simply not able to be involved in any kind of endorsement deal in which you were paid for your services or appearances. And if you did get paid and money was exchanged, well, you would totally run the serious risk of not only losing your college eligibility as an athlete, but if you were on an athletic scholarship, well, that would go up in smoke as well. Now, as you might imagine, all college athletes took this mandate very, very seriously. And of course, high school athletes were never tempted to take any money. It just wasn't done. But then over the last couple of years, the name, likeness, image issue, the NIL issue, has come into sharp focus with the NCAA and with colleges around the country. And suddenly the longstanding NIL limits were lifted. They're gone. And now, as you know, we have college athletes cashing in big, big ways with all sorts of NIL deals. Okay, I'm sure you're looking at this saying, so far, so good. What's the downside? Well, we'll talk about this. We also know that high school athletes and their parents are obviously watching all this unfold at the collegiate level, and the high school athletes are wondering if they may be able to cash in as well. Now, for example, and by the way, friends, I'm going to get into this, and I'm going to get your thoughts and comments about this on either side of this issue. And, of course, we'll take your calls here at 877-337-6666. But, again, let me get down to actual specifics. Perhaps the most notable example reported just last year was the curious case of the top high school Texas quarterback who graduated from high school early so that he could enroll at Ohio State as a freshman. He skipped his senior year in high school. And by doing so, by going to Ohio State early, he could then cash in on NIL money that was allegedly worth close to $1.4 million. Now, again, we talked about this case a few weeks ago, but again, I use it as sort of the prism to see what's going on. This kid's name, this quarterback's name, Quinn Ewers, well, he played as a freshman this past fall on the Buckeyes football team. He didn't play very much. From what I could find doing my research, he got in for only two snaps all season and didn't even throw a pass. And then just a few weeks ago, he announced that he was now going to transfer out of Ohio State and go back to his home state of Texas. He's transferring to the University of Texas. Now, this is a kid, just so you know, who was considered the top quarterback, top football player out of Texas just a year ago. But because in Texas, he was not allowed as a high school athlete to basically partake of any NIL deals, he decided, well, you know what, I just have one or so more course to finish up. He took that, got his degree from high school, and decided to enroll at Ohio State, which obviously, like, there were dozens of colleges after this kid. He was that good. And he went to Ohio State as a freshman, and that's where he got his $1.4 million NIL deal, and he could obviously partake of that because now he was in college and he wasn't back in high school. All right, so the story goes that according to media reports, Ohio State refused to promise Ewers that he would be the starting quarterback in 2022. And the kid, he said, thanks. I've already sat on the bench for a year. I'm going to go back to the University of Texas, my home state. Now, I would imagine that the coaching staff at Ohio State, if you follow college football, I imagine they're pretty happy with their current quarterback, a kid who is a redshirt freshman, in other words, a year ahead of yours, C.J. Stroud, who had a fantastic year this year for the Buckeyes. So, just to be clear about this, the Ewers kid graduates from high school early in Texas because that's a state that didn't allow high school athletes to accept NIL money. And he goes off to college where NIL is legal, but when he gets to Ohio State, he sits on the bench all season behind C.J. Stroud. Now, I gather the Ewers, the quarterback kid, I mean, he's still able to collect more than $1 million in NIL money for basically playing two downs and not even throwing a pass. Think about that. The kid doesn't play, and he gets $1 million as a freshman in college. And, of course, he had his athletic scholarship, too. As the saying goes, it's pretty good work if you can get it, and it's all legal. Okay. Speaking of the University of Texas, it's also been reported that a bunch of their linemen on the football team have banded together and will be doing an NIL deal of their own, in which they're going to be asked to make some appearances at a few charitable events. It's not really clear yet what those charitable causes will be, but that's the connection. And anyhow, in exchange for these appearances, which, by the way, is being funded by wealthy Texas alums who will provide the money, They promised to provide an annual payment of $50,000 to each University of Texas lineman. Okay, I'm not making this up. This has been reported in media. Again, this is pretty sweet. So the football players who are not, these linemen are not well known, they're going to get their full athletic scholarship, and in addition, they're going to pocket $50,000 a year in NIL money. Now, cynics are already suggesting that this is just another added recruiting attraction for the University of Texas program. In effect, they're going to be giving these guys free money to make a few appearances at a couple of events. On the other side of the coin, people say, well, after all, these kids are in college. They're playing in a program that, yes, gives them a college scholarship at the D1 level, but the coaches are making millions of dollars, the school's making millions of dollars, and these kids don't see a dime. So what's wrong with not with sharing the wealth? Well, in theory, that makes a lot of sense, certainly. But again, how does this all play out? Particularly because, we know, the NCAA has always complained they don't have enough people, enough personnel on their staff to ever go out and check on all these various programs and make sure things are on the up and up. So I don't expect the NCAA to do anything in terms of trying to go out and investigate if these things are really happening in a legit way. Okay, now, I'm quite sure that every top high school athlete all across the country and their parents are watching all of this unfold, and they're doing their best to figure out ways as to how they can cash in on the gold rush as well. And by the way, this is not just high school athletes, but also most likely this is trickling down to middle school athletes as well. And let's not forget the kids who have bypassed high school sports and pretty much play exclusively on travel and club teams. So my overall question for you today is, where is this all headed, and who's overseeing all this? So again, the NCAA, very much doubt that, and the colleges say that they have their own rules and regulations regarding NIL and their student athletes. But let's face it, how long are these rules and regulations going to stay in place when they're highly paid coaches who want to recruit prospects, and they dangle NIL money in front of those recruits? 877-337-6666, that is our number. You know, let's work from the assumption that this is all good news, and these kids will now be able to earn some real extra cash from their athletic fame. But again, there are a lot of basic questions here. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? Let's start our conversation this morning with Ed over in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Ed, good morning. You're first up on the fan this morning.
I nominate Rick Wolf to oversee everything. He's cleaning us up in a hurry.
Well, Ed, if I can score an NIL deal that pays me $1.4 million, I'll be more than happy to take on that job.
Yeah, but then, Rick, you won't be doing this show anymore. You'll be counting your money.
Yes. I guess, you know, it's funny you mention this, because I guess I sort of feel a little bit like I was left out of the gold rush, because, I mean, you know, I grew up in a time, I'm sure you did as well, where, you know, if you're a college athlete, you never got involved in taking money, under the table or for doing deals. It just didn't happen. And now the floodgates are totally open. We're open for business. And I feel like, well, gee whiz, maybe I could have gotten some extra cash when I was playing sports in college. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I just thought of this as I'm sitting in my car talking. Mm-hmm. If the NCAA really wants to get involved, say, okay, son, you're going to make X amount of money through the NIL deals? Okay, we subtract that from your scholarship. That you're making that money now, then you got to pay for some of the college now. Maybe this will crack down, but it won't crack down. It's just getting out of control. My nephew, who was an assistant baseball coach on the D1 level, had a recruiting visit about a month ago, and the question was asked: What type of NIL deals can you get me?
Yeah,
this is for baseball.
Yeah.
And my nephew didn't know what to say, to be honest, you know? So,
Ed, this is that's exactly where we're going with this, because the kids are smart and savvy. They're looking at all this, and of course, I'm sure the first question to any college coach is, okay, how much of a athletic scholarship are you going to offer me? And then they come up with a number. And the second question, as you just alluded to, is they're going to ask the coach, okay, how much NIL money are you going to guarantee me? And what do I have to do to earn that? I mean, it's total free agency across the board. And
well, look, look at the situation right now with the player that, was the number, the top prospect in the country. He was so already committed. He had committed 2 years ago to go to Florida State. Then at the last minute, supposedly Deion Sanders, who says he's not involved, which is hard to believe,
yep,
is involved with a certain company. Now all of a sudden, supposedly they come up with $1 million for this kid. Now this kid decides to renege on his commitment, and now he's going to Jackson State.
Yep.
So this is going to be out of control, Rick, believe me. And you know what? You know what started all this? It may not pertain to the transfer portal. Everything's getting so out of control. It's no more the student athlete. We should just call it the Wild Wild West athlete now, the way it's going.
Ed, I'm glad you mentioned the situation because with Deion Sanders, the very successful coach now at Jackson State, and all of a sudden the kid who's a top prospect in the country transfers or decides to decommit from Florida State to play football, ends up at Jackson State. And as you said, people are asking questions, why would a kid do this? Certainly Deion Sanders has had a great impact at Jackson, but the fact is, Why would this take place? And clearly, people are asking about the money. What is this? Just a money trail situation? I have not seen that confirmed anywhere yet. But since NIL is legal, I imagine if that is in fact true, we'll hear about this soon enough. But that's another case where kids and their parents, their family, understandably, are going to follow the money trail. They're going to go whatever the cash is, and they can help themselves. And I maybe it's going to be just a temporary rush, but I got to tell you, I think this is here to stay. I think this is how it's going to be in terms of just like free agency and with professional athletes, same with amateur athletes. And it's going to get really out of hand very quickly. Ed, thank you for the call as always. Appreciate your insights. You bet. Take care. All right. So we're talking about this concept of NIL and what is going to happen to all these athletes and their parents, and they're going to have their hand out and say, as we just heard from Ed Ward, you know, talking about a baseball coach being asked already by a kid, how much are you going to pay me for NIL? I mean, the kids are going to assume this is guaranteed, and that's part of the whole recruiting process. All right. Let's take a break. 877-337-6666. I'm very eager to get your thoughts and comments about all this because maybe there is all good. I don't know. I'm just, again, we're on a cusp of a sea change here when it comes to amateur sports in this country. Let me take a timeout. When I come back, I'll go right back to the calls. Stay with me. We're talking this morning about NIL deals for high school and college club athletes. Any amateur athlete who feels that he or she has some real talent and perhaps can find a sponsor who would like to underwrite that kid in terms of getting to do appearances, autograph sessions, social media stuff. It's just extraordinary how quickly and rapidly this has all been taking place. I got to tell you, I mean, I was reading an article just the other day in the Washington Post, which did a big article, and they were quoting in the article college coaches, football coaches like Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss and Dabo Swinney of Clemson, Ryan Day of Ohio State. They were all lamenting the new reality of NIL and how high school football recruits are now going to all these colleges that offer the best deal. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Not only am I going to get a college scholarship to play football, but I also want to know what kind of NIL money is going to be guaranteed to me to go to Ole Miss or Clemson or Ohio State or whatever college it may be, whatever sport it may be. And the kids also right away say, what about, I want guaranteed playing time. I mean, this is, again, I understand, you know, the college coaches, especially the big-time D1 programs, they are all millionaires many times over. I get that. But even they're worried about the so-called development of free agency with kids in college and, of course, the transfer portal, which is basically, you know, fueling all of this. So how does a youngster handle an NIL situation? Do they need to talk to an agent? Is that even allowed? Do they just talk to the family attorney? The kids should be mandated? They get take a course in financial literacy. I know some colleges are now making that mandatory for the student athletes. I mean, I've always felt, I'm sure you feel the same way, that financial literacy, the basics of handling money, that should be taught in our public schools, because after all, I mean, we need our kids to know how to understand, you know, debits and credits and finances and how to pay their bills and responsibility and so on and so forth. I mean, that really should be, in my opinion, a mandatory course for all high school students when it comes to preparing for the real world. And again, the parents, you know, they know if they're savvy about this, there are no rules and regulations regarding NIL. And you know, basically you're empowering your athlete to call the shots if he or she can. It's just extraordinary. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. We're taking your calls at 877-337-6666. Let's go to Rob Fried. Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts about all this.
Rick, I got to tell you something. This always fascinated me when you brought this up a number of months ago.
Yeah.
And I go back to the days, you know, I'm going back to my college days. I remember when I ran my first Boston Marathon in 1983, the athletic director, his name was Larry Keating at Adelphi. He said to me, listen, we're going to pay your flight up to Boston. We're going to give you a hotel room. You must wear the Adelphi singlet. It's against the rules not to wear it. You could lose your scholarship. So if there's any pictures out there, you better have that. You better be wearing that singlet. So on top of that, that was one thing. You couldn't run for a club. You had to put where you when I had a card, I had to sign up for an AAU card.
Yeah.
And you know, to prove I was an amateur. All right. And when you filled out your application to run, you had to put down your number, and it was all registered, and that's the way it was. You got nothing. I mean, I got $20 meal money, and I understand, Rick, it's a different time. But, you know, and I was thinking about this, it's really right now just a very, very select few people. But going forward, like what, you know, what you're saying here is there are no real rules. We need to – this has to be overseen by – if it's not the NCAA, which they don't seem to be – interested right now. I don't know if they really can do anything right now. We need some type of commissioner, like, you know, or some like state by state or on a national level. I think going forward, it's maybe a good thing, but in the end, it's really just right now for the select few. But what you just brought up, and I'll leave you with this, this the problem is going to be with a lot of these major programs, the big time colleges,
yep,
are going to now promise kids it's going to be you're going to be paid. You're basically going to select the best players across the country at the best institutions at the D1 program level, and they're going to say, "Listen, we're going to give you $50,000. You know, you're going to be if you sign on a year, let's say whatever, and it's all going to be a pay scale. There's no more amateur sports, Rick. And maybe that's good on some levels, but on some levels, just being an old school guy, I really don't like it, and I'll just leave you with that.
Well, Rob, before I let you go, let me go back to the days when you were running, you know, for Adelphi, and because again, I came from the same world that you know, if I worked in the, you know, I played baseball in college,
sure,
and played freshman played football my freshman year, but even back then there was a concern that if I worked for the sports information department, doing, you know, covering the college basketball team, and I was making a few bucks an hour, there was always that thought, like, well, will this, by doing this, have nothing to do
with... Yes, you know, Rick, what you're saying is true. A lot of the athletes, they had part-time jobs. The college would give them a job in the bookstore. They give you know, to make a few bucks. That's how we made extra money. I mean,
yes,
it's exactly the way it was back then, and You were basically given a stipend. You had to earn your stipend on top of your scholarship. But, you know, it's so different now. There's no more amateurism anymore.
Well, that's what it bottom really sort of boils down to. That's the bottom line. But I remember, like yourself, I mean, like, going back when I was in school, I'm thinking, geez, I'd hope I don't jeopardize my amateur status.
I even in the off season, I still had to represent my college. I had to every time I signed up for a race. What's your club? Who do you run for? And I had to say Adelphi University. If I didn't, they would, you know, even though the scholarships are annually, you had to sign on. I remember it was like a contract.
Yeah.
I had to sign a contract at the beginning of the season. You know, like I'm going to get this amount of money for this semester. I didn't believe it was semester per semester. It was because it was a three season sport. Baseball, I understand, was like a you know, a yearly thing, and you participated all year in it. But we had indoor season, we had outdoor and cross country, so it was really split up into three seasons. But Rick, I don't think in the long run, it's maybe good in the long run, possibly for the elite. And I'm just saying, it's the elite athlete that's going to really cash in. Then they got jealousy issues, Rick. What about the kids that are making nothing?
I'm telling you, it's there are all these things.
Wild West.
I'm telling you, Rob.
Course, but, you know, it's just always fascinating, and have a great and Merry Christmas to you and your family and across the listeners, because I know you're not going to talk to you until next Sunday.
Yes.
So have a great week. All right, Rick.
Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye. Appreciate the comments. You know, and yeah, we're talking about the cascading unforeseen effects that this is going to have. And again, we're just going through the headlines this morning, but clearly, as we've all concluded so far, this is all free agency. There's no more amateur athletics to speak of. Everybody's got their hand out. They get paid. It's going to be wild. And it's, again, maybe it just benefits a handful of athletes, but that doesn't. I mean, the question is, who determines which athletes get the real payday? I mean, it's and what happens to the guys on the college team or the women who don't make any money? Do they get jealous of their teammates? I mean, you know, the teammates are living high off the hog thanks to NIL, but they're not getting anything. So how does that work out? Let's continue our calls. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Mark is standing by. Mark, good morning. You're next up on the fan.
Good morning. You know this. This topic really bugs me because, you know, you went to college, you worked in the cafeteria, you had your scholarship, but now this thing is going to turn into a real disaster. And let me just make this one point. When we stop sending amateur athletes, I know this is off the scale, to the Olympics, that's when it really got, I believe, out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to have these players who, you know, like you just said, the top dogs are going to get the top money, and the second stringers are going to get nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not right. If you're going to pay college athletes, or now it's starting at the high school level, which is insane, then you really should have, like, a pay scale of what's equal for everybody.
It's going to be a clear case, Mark, of the haves versus the have-nots, and the rich get richer. And that's where, if I'm a coach, I'm going to have a difficult time in trying to keep everybody feel that we're all in this together on the same team, we're all putting in the same kind of effort. Because clearly there are going to be some teammates, if it's a star quarterback or the star point guard in the basketball team or the leading scorer on the soccer team, they're going to get all the NIL money. Everybody else just says, hey, thanks for being on the team. Simple as that. This is going to be a problem, you know.
You remember the days where, and I'm old school, I'm 63, where you got a scholarship to go to a college. That was a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You were so happy it wasn't funny.
Yeah, well, talking to younger people today, they look around, and I guess the difference is the fact they see their coaches are making millions and millions of dollars coaching, you know, college basketball or college football or whatever it might be, baseball. And they're saying, why don't we get, we get our scholarships, but why don't we get some of that loot as well? We're the ones actually at her, you know, busting our tails and practices and run the risk of getting hurt. Why can't we get some of that money as well? And that pretty much was the impetus for this NIL movement. It is unbelievable stuff. I can assure you that. Mark, thank you for checking in this morning.
A great topic and a great show.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let me go on to get some more calls here. Let me go to Robert over in Deer Park out in Long Island. Robert, you're next up on the fan.
Hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for letting me speak, and happy holidays to you and your family.
You too.
I have a few things to say. This is a very good subject. It's like a Rubik's Cube. It twists, but nothing gets solved. I go refer back to Jim Thorpe.
Yes.
When Jim Thorpe won all of those Olympics, and because he got paid when he went to the pros, they stripped him of everything. Reggie Bush, basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Once you pay these athletes, they become professional athletes. I believe they're exempt from the Olympics. But I do say the government has to step in and make a pay scale that from the low man to the higher man, this is your pay scale. That way everybody's on the same plane and everybody, no school can outdo the other one. If you're a junior, you get this. If you're a senior, you get this. If you're a sophomore, you get this. And that's that.
I don't know if that's going to work, because that runs counter to the whole idea of free enterprise and capitalism. I agree with you in terms of it makes sense in terms of a general concept, but
right.
You know, colleges are going to say yes, we'll abide by that, and then there's going to be more money slipped under the table.
One of the major problems is now that gambling is legal. That's a whole nother revenue of money.
But
there's too much money to go around.
That's a whole different topic, to be sure. But I'm telling you, in terms of right now, how this is all going to filter down to athletes today and how they're going to grow up with expectations and their parents, it is going to be very interesting to see how this new wild, wild west is going to play out.
It's going to be a fight to get on the team. It's going to be a fight to get playing time. It's going to be a fight to get money. It's going to start fights. And we need to solve problems, not create problems.
I couldn't agree more, and that's an excellent way of putting it. Hey, Robert, thank you for checking in this morning. I agree with you. This is going to be a real concern, and it's going to really probably focus on the coaches, who have to sort of find a way to be fair and to make things happen for all their athletes the best way possible. I mean, and by the way, as I said, this is going to filter down. Don't think for a second. We're talking a lot here about the colleges. The Division I colleges will have deep pockets. Don't think for a second if I'm a high school powerhouse, let's say in football or in basketball, like a private or parochial school, and I'm looking to keep my program at the top of the heap, I'm sure going to be looking to bring in kids at the high school level who are looking for, not only perhaps getting a scholarship to go to that private or parochial school, but maybe they want some NIL money as well. That's going to how this is beginning to show itself as well, too. Don't kid yourself. That's the reality of this. All right, 877-337-6666. That, of course, is our number. Let me take a timeout. When I come back, we'll continue talking about NIL. Yes, sir. Back here on the Sports Edge on this Sunday morning. Couple of quick updates for you before we get back to our topic of NIL, how it's going to have a major impact at all levels of sports. First of all, you remember a few weeks ago we talked about this horrible situation out in Ohio at Bishop Sycamore High School. Well, this past Friday, the New York Times did a major feature on Bishop Sycamore, and the article, which was entitled Unfulfilled Promise. I thought it did a very, very nice job in filling in some of the painful details that these high school football players who really have so little and why they were attracted to this bogus so-called school in the hopes of attracting attention from college coaches. It's a good but very sobering read about these kids, these high school kids, who basically were chasing dreams to someday play football in college. And by the way, ESPN also did an article this past week about Bishop Sycamore, but I thought it was a bit curious that ESPN really didn't point the finger at themselves for first airing Bishop Sycamore on an ESPN high school football game. I mean, even the commentators on that game were pointing to the fact that this team was kind of disorganized. They weren't really prepared. They got pretty much crushed by IMG Academy. ESPN really should have come forth and said, yeah, we really should have done our homework and found out this was not a really legitimate high school. Okay, now, I promised you a little quick update about Save the Game in terms of baseball. A few months ago, we talked about a new book entitled Teach Your Kid to Hit So They Won't Quit. It's written by Kevin Gallagher. The ensuing discussion about why young kids should avoid launch angles and always swinging for the fences, well, that led to former major leaguer Jeff Fry, who obviously loves the book as well, and about why the game of baseball and has this current emphasis on power hitting, power pitching, defensive shifts have all led to the game becoming, well, boring and tough to watch. And that's led to sort of this grassroots movement called Save the Game. This is being spearheaded by Kevin Gallagher, Jeff Fry, Pat Gagan. Pat was a star pitcher for me at Mercy College. In any event, this movement is suddenly beginning to pop up everywhere. Just the other day, there was in Bob Nightingale's baseball column, which is widely read around the country, in USA Today, he wrote about it. CNBC is doing a feature about Save the Game. Lots of radio shows, other columns. And now, there's a website where you can go to find out more, if you're interested. And while baseball is on a lockout, this is the perfect sort of hot stove topic to get baseball back on track, to get players back to hitting them where they ain't, instead of worrying about their launch angles. And if you're a pitcher, trying to mix up your pitches and change speeds in order to fool batters instead of trying to always overpower them with 90-mile-per-hour fastballs. To return to having guys who have speed on the bases and surprise plays like a hit-and-run or a squeeze bunt or bunting for a hit. Real baseball, fun baseball. Any event, let me give you this website if you want to find out more. It doesn't cost you anything to sign up. You go to SaveTheGameUs.com. And let me spell it out for you. It's one word. There's no spaces. SaveTheGameUs, U-S, SaveTheGameUs.com. And again, it doesn't cost anything to join up. You can go through the website very quickly because I really do think this push to bring baseball back to its original roots as a fun game for the players and to watch as a fan, I think they're onto something. Again, SaveTheGameUs.com. All right, let's return to our thoughts about what's going to happen with NIL and college and high school athletes. It's out of control, and I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Let's continue our conversation. Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, good morning. You're on the Fan.
How are you, Rick?
Good, Jack.
You know, there's so many different things. If you remember the movie, you know, this has been happening for a long time, and I think that it's happened so often in the two major sports, the revenue sports,
yep,
you know, football and basketball. And if you remember the movie Blue Chips, it was all about these, you know, him going out and getting these four studs,
yep,
and promising them everything, giving them cars, houses for their mothers, you know, tractors for their fathers, you know, bags of money. And you know what? It's time to make it legal. It's time to do it the right way if you're going to do it. You know, when this first started, I was against it because like Rob, I'm old school, you know, and I enjoyed, and I coached, and I still coach at the amateur level. But if you think about it now, you know, I'm going to be coaching at the professional level because one of the things that this is going to do, and I can almost see it already in my neighborhood, all right, is that a lot of the D3 schools are going to get these sitting on the bench D1 athletes. Because, you know, what's going to happen is that these athletes who are not going to be the starter right away, but could start at many other schools, is now going to come to a school and say, hey, listen, what can you offer me? You know, I won't go to Tennessee or Alabama to play softball. I'll come to your D3 school and play if you can promise me side money. You know,
yep.
I forget who said it. One of your callers said, you know, that they'll, you know, and one of the ways to deal with it is to make them pay for, take scholarship money away. That will never happen because, in my opinion, that will never happen because then this makes no sense. You know, you give us this and I'll give you that back. Yeah, that makes no sense. So, but the point is, and it was a good idea, but you know what? It's not going to happen. So, you know, there's so many different things. I mean, even at the, you talked about the powerhouse football. We have here in New Jersey powerhouse football programs. St. Joe's, Don Bosco, Bergen Catholic, you know, even Paramus Catholic and St. Mary's and Pope Paul the Fifth and the Eighth, whatever Paul was involved there, who knows. But they're going to now say, you know, St. Joe's is going to go after a running back from Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden, Bosco's going to come in and say, hey, listen, they're promising you $100,000. We'll get you $250,000. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to be, you know, for years and years and years, the Catholic schools have been recruiting from the public schools. More kids are going to want to go to the private schools now, the Catholic schools, to get more money because I don't think it's going to happen at the public school level. I really don't think it'll ever happen at the public school level.
But remember this too, Jack, and you know this as a college coach yourself. College these days is unbelievably expensive for tuition. And if you at for D3, whether it's a private school or a state sponsored school, it's unbelievably expensive. So nobody's talking about college getting cheaper in the years to come. And if you got a kid or several kids who want to go to college, you're watching all this as a mom or dad. So if a kid says, you know, there's interest in me from a D3 program, they won't offer me any money because they can't at the D3 level. But I am going to talk to the coach and say, well, what can you do for me in terms of NIL? Because I would like to make some money just to help, you know, ease the burden on my parents while I go to school. I think that's a legitimate question. And again, that's the upside of all this, let's figure out a way where all these kids can share into the wealth. Now, again, early on when NIL was being debated, there was discussion about, well, how do we do this so all the athletes on the team all share equally? Because that made sense. But that, you know, that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean,
Rick, it's one of the things that's very funny is that I have a true belief that there's no bigger heart than the heart of a volunteer. And I always say to the coaches out there who are volunteering, if you're going to volunteer the correct way, learn the sport that you're going to coach. And there's no truer, and there's no bigger heart than the heart of a D3 athlete, because these people are paying to play their sport. So the love that they have to have, I mean, you know, I'm coaching at New Jersey City University, and I watch these girls work all year round. They don't stop. They lift, they swim, they train, and it's just, you know, all year. And they're not getting paid to play a sport. Yeah. They're not getting scholarship money. They might get a job at school, collecting tickets at the basketball game. But you know what? It's going to be a crazy, crazy thing to watch and be witness to. You know, these youth kids are going to be saying, hey, well, this club team wants me, but he's going to give me $50,000 to wear a pizza T-shirt. What can you give to me? Yeah,
That's what we're looking at. And it may just be that's how this all plays out, where the purest athletes are those kids who play at the D3 level, who, as you say, are working all year round to excel in their sport, but they don't get paid for it, and they're not getting any NIL money as well.
If you're going to do it right, if you're going to do it, let's do it right.
I agree.
Figure it out.
Thanks, Jack. Let me get some other calls. Jack, appreciate the call. Let's move quickly over to Brian up in Cheshire, Connecticut. Brian, good morning. You're next up on the fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I couldn't really disagree more with this.
Okay.
There's a minimum wage in most states, and no one wants to make minimum wage. Your tuition in this point in time is minimum wage, and some people don't even get a full tuition ride to play Division I sports or two or three or anything.
Right.
And let them make their money. Like if I had a child, and well, I do have kids, but I want them to get the most out of anything. The same thing, like if you were an amateur, you know, you're throwing out this word amateur.
Yes.
If you're a brand new entrepreneur starting a new company, you go to a venture capitalist to fund you and give you money. You want them to give you the most money possible.
Yeah, but that now we're into the world of business. We're still talking about
Is college sports not business? Is Gino Auriemma not the highest paid Connecticut state person?
Brian, we're on the same page about that.
It is a business. They pass and bust. We're candy enough. We all have a Merry Christmas, but money talks.
That's how this whole thing started, because in the last few years, a bunch of college athletes said, this is not fair. And they said, I'm saying, so the question is, okay, now we have NIL. There's no sort of oversight of any of this. So now we're having situations, and I think you would agree, if we're talking about business of recruiting, the issue we're talking about is if I'm the University of Texas, and I want to make sure I get out of the doldrums with my football program, I want to go and recruit the best athletes I can. And those athletes are already asking me, as I just mentioned before, well, I want a full scholarship. I also want to know how much money you're going to guarantee me you know, to do a couple of autograph sessions or a couple of appearances at some charitable events. That sort of Good. Runs so counter to all this, and I'm not saying it's illegal, because it's not illegal, but it just makes it a little bit jarring in terms of how this is going to play out in terms of those athletes who don't get those deals.
That it's like saying, like, baseball doesn't have a cap on their thing. It's good.
It's free good. Agency.
And you just said you went to Mercy College, right? Like, who's to say that, like, that there's some booster that isn't going to throw a ton of money to get a good basketball or football player? That's that good.
That let me ask you, should you had some kids? Do they play sports at all?
Yes. One of them actually just won the national cheer tournament in Florida like 3 days ago. Yes.
That's wonderful. That's great. Now, suppose, I assume it's your daughter, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she's all excited, and, you know, she's a terrific cheerleader and so on and so forth. Suppose somebody on her team cut a deal with the local, I don't know, car dealership to get $10,000 for doing some appearances and so on and so forth. Wouldn't your daughter feel a little bit like, well, I wish that were me? I mean,
are you the highest paid sports person at WFAN?
No, I'm not. I'm sure I'm in.
Exactly. But... Exactly. That's our economy.
Again, we're sort of going in circles, and I appreciate your perspective on this, and thank you for your thoughts this morning, Brian. The point I'm trying to make is it's a little different once you go into the world of business. And what we've done now is by empowering NIL deals for all athletes, college, high school, travel, club, right down to middle school, now we've entered the world of the business of free agency. And this is going to have all sorts of impacts, many, many positive, because these kids are going to get a lot of money, some of them. A lot of them aren't. They're going to wonder how come they didn't have a chance to cash in. It may cause some real ripples along the way, and that's what we've been talking about this morning. But, you know, this is where we are today. Again, we've used the expression many times on the show. It is the wild, wild west. Sure, it'd be nice to have somebody or some commission or some panel to oversee all this when it comes to our kids and sports and what's going to take place. All right, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge this morning. My thanks to Pat Boyle. Please, everybody, have a merry and have a very safe Christmas. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.